get you in there a little more. How about that? How about that there, Dr. Josh
nice
Claypo?
Snuggly with you.
Welcome to a little Facebook Live. Oh, you're really bright this morning.
I know. I'm going to brighten my...
You look like a ghost in front of me. See how nice and bright? Oh, you got your different colored lights on there and your little remote there. Welcome to Curry and Claypo here on Tony Curry Radio. We do it every single Thursday. I catch up with my radio partner here, and we talk about everything from National Chili Dog Day, Dusty in the Wind today. We're going to talk some Brittany Griner today. We're going to talk about how to date broke today because we're going to be on Fox
date.
6.
Oh, date I thought broke. You said date baroque.
Well, it could be date baroque. If you're
you
want to go out on a date,
you can.
Oh, you're broke.
That's stupid.
See, guys are kind of stupid.
Broke.
No, but I mean, she's going to know pretty much. I mean, if you're taking her to the park.
No.
Come over to my house and make you a nice dinner.
I disagree.
We'll see. We'll see. It depends on what kind of woman you got. But it's up to us guys to kind of set the standard. Because most guys, if we're doing pretty good, we'd take you to Fleming's and really blow your socks off, bring you flowers the first day. And then she doesn't want a second date. And then we're like, I just made an investment in this thing. And that's your problem. That's a you problem.
You said if we're doing really good, where we make a mistake,
yes.
I think where everybody makes a mistake, mm-hmm. is that... That first date, actually, I don't think a lot of people do this, to be honest with you. That first date should never be, we've talked about this all the time, that first date should never be over the top. It shouldn't.
First impressions, right?
I clearly remember. Yeah. Seriously.
It depends on how old you are.
When
you're 21, 22,
but it's not your first date. Your first date, if your first date is over the top, whether you're 17, or 70.
What should you spend on your first date?
Well, I mean, it's all proportional. It's what you should do. It's not what you should spend. It's what you should do because the two are related, right?
Yeah.
So we've talked about this so many times. If you go all out, totally expensive restaurant, you know, I don't know, special, go to a high-end bar afterwards, you know, it makes you look like you're trying too hard.
Yeah.
For the first date, because on the first date you don't know them that well.
Restaurant, and you get to know the people before you take your date. Make sure that they assume that you are a regular, even though you're not.
No, see,
No, it works.
I don't like that.
Then you're walking.
Not on
in,
your
then
first...
you're walking. Hey,
no.
What's going on? You're like, hey,
no.
Buddy. Yes,
no.
You want to look like
no.
the man? Yes.
No, you
I
don't.
Speak for every man.
No.
Every man out there is agreeing with me
right
now.
No, you look
you
like.
Wanna, you
no,
look
you
like
look like you're. No, you look like you're trying.
No, you're
too
not
hard.
Trying too hard. That's what I'm saying. You
no.
go in the day before and you go, hey, listen, I'm bringing this hot date tomorrow night. I really want to make an impression.
Dumb move.
Can you give me a good table and what's on sale tomorrow night?
Dumb move.
Are we doing
dumb move?
Next thing you know, it's like, this guy knows everybody.
No, because you know why? Then what do you do on the second date? Right.
Well,
by
the second date, it's done.
What's done?
You're over her place in bed.
No.
You made your first impression, dude, because your first date,
no.
you killed her.
No.
Yeah.
That's, you know what? That's
I'm telling
so, that's
I'm 56
so,
years old, and I'm
so,
single again, and when I get back out there, I'm going to tell you how it is.
No.
You've been married too long. You don't know how it works.
That is so... Not
you know,
Tony Curry.
That is so,
that is
Tony
so
Curry.
Not Tony Curry.
Curry.
No, that is that's Tony Curry. That is not Tony Curry. Because your ass would never do
well,
that.
Well, the thing is,
you would not do that.
So I would always go either to a movie because you don't have to talk a whole
that's
lot.
That's right.
But now that's going to set you back about $100 if you get popcorn and get something to eat because now you get like a steak dinner at your seat. And I'm talking about broke because a lot of people are seriously broke right now and
right.
they want to go on a dates. And if you're already dating and you're already into it 6-7 months,
that's
you're
different.
Like, listen,
right.
I'm a little tight right now. Why don't you just come over and I'll make you some stir fry or something, whatever. But this is some ramen noodles. How about a bowl of cereal tonight with dinner? We'll do some Cap'n Crunch while we watch Jersey Wives or whatever. That's fine. But my thing is I already knew a lot of people, so wherever I went, so I would
go
to a concert because I knew I was going to know everybody.
Well, that's, yes. Yeah. Well, okay. But again,
so you go
that's
to,
unique.
You,
that's a little unique.
Well, you go to one of your stomping grounds. You go to a place that is comfortable for you, that a lot of people know you, but they're not taking your time away. You don't want to be sitting there with a girl and like every other person's coming up. Hey, man, what's going
on? See, that's you.
Yeah.
That's you.
Sitting in the corner of you.
That's
but, that, but that can be you, Josh.
No, it's
you're on
not.
Television, dude. You could do it.
No, but I wouldn't
Everyone
do that.
Everyone knows Josh.
But
is.
I wouldn't do that.
All right, we'll talk about that. We're going to be on Fox 6 this morning at 9:30. That's
talking about
that's what we're going to be talking about.
I'm going to hammer your ass.
I had a friend of mine. I ran into a buddy of mine yesterday. We got some brand new business coming on starting on Monday, and I'm about to throw him a free bone today.
That's good.
He had an interesting story about one Janice Rogers. It looks like.
No.
I can't share it. I'm not.
She's
going.
Off this week, I think.
Is she?
I think she is, because I saw Claire. We love Claire, though.
All right, so we'll talk about that. It's also National Water Park Day, and it's World Hepatitis Day. That's good. I want to get into capitalism today, too. I don't ever like to say I'm a this.
Right.
I'm a Christian. I'm an addict.
I love that.
I'm a capitalist.
I love that.
I'm a Catholic. I am a person with a Catholic religion.
I love
or
that.
I'm a person with capitalist beliefs.
Yes.
Or I'm because it doesn't define who I am.
There you
right?
go. Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
I do, and I think that's great.
Thank you. And so, recently Bruce Springsteen, and by the way, Lollapalooza starts, up in Chicago today.
They're going for it.
Yeah, they're going for it. It went on last year.
Oh, that's true.
And they're going to get after it. And I think, they got, it was Jane's Addiction or something like that, but they've had Ariana Grande there. They've had Bruno Mars.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Plant, Black Sabbath, Devo, played back in
2010. I did Lollapalooza when it was in L.A.
Depeche Mode. I was up in Manchester, Tennessee a couple nights after Lollapalooza. I actually played there a few years ago, and the place was an absolute wreck.
Yeah.
Amy Winehouse, Kanye, the Black Keys have all played there. And tickets, again, it's one of these things where now it's done in Chicago, and it's pushed out to other venues, I guess, across the country. So they do different things. And tickets, I mean, if you want to go Lollapalooza, you can go Lollapalooza. If you want to go see Bruce Springsteen in his 2023 concert tour, which, of course, is being distributed through Ticketmaster, you ain't going unless you want to take out a mortgage on the house. The Platinum VIP seats, which are, you know, obviously, are somewhere between $4,000 and $5,000, and then there's another section that's $1,000 and up. And
oh my God.
They have a ticket pricing platform that plays up to supply and demand. So rather than release all the tickets like we used to, tickets are, and I forget who I was talking to the other day. I think it was Garth Brooks. Every ticket was $100. Every ticket was $100.
Good, bad,
whatever, $100. You get in for $100 and people love that. I can't believe that $100 is like super. So they had like, I don't know, 13% of the tickets were somewhere between $59 and $199, and then it goes up through the stratosphere, right? And, of course, those tickets went super fast. They're gone. It's only 13% of the house. I think that's the number. And so a lot of people want to see Bruce Springsteen. They don't know how much longer he's going to play.
Right.
And that goes for Robert Plant, who's back in the road. ZZ Top's on the road. The Rolling Stones are on the road. There's all these bands, and you don't know if you're going to see him again. Mm-hmm. And so you'd like to see him one last time. And there's a lot of people saying, I'm not spending that kind of money. And it's crazy. And it's based off what they do is they kind of, pardon me if I'm wrong, but they don't release all the tickets at once.
Right.
They release a certain portion of tickets. Then if they're not going for $1,200, then they drop it to $1,100.
Oh,
they
yeah.
drop it to $1,000 until someone starts buying them, and then they keep the price. It's
genius.
It's really
snarky
bullshit.
No, but it's terrible, but it makes...
So if Josh Klapo was opening his practice
yeah.
out of the Tony Curry Radio Studios.
Okay, you do that.
And... you said, I'm going to do therapy for $275 a half hour, which is not uncommon, but it's pretty pricey.
That's pretty
you could
pricey.
Probably get someone a little less than that.
Yeah.
And you got no buyers. Maybe go $250.
Yeah,
go $200. Next thing you know, at $175, you got people calling you going, hey, listen, I'm coming in. Well, most people that aren't used to paying $350 an hour,
right.
$175, are going to go, this is bullshit. I need help. Now, you're in a different situation because you are a service provider.
No, but yeah.
But that's capitalism.
Yes.
I get that. And I think most people that don't believe in capitalism or don't like that way of thinking have never been in a position to be a capitalist. In other words, they don't have a product. They don't have a widget that they could sell for $50 when it's really $250 to buy a particular widget. And so, and it goes for gasoline.
Yeah.
It goes for oil companies. It goes for food.
Yeah.
It goes for inflation. There's a lot of people out there right now that are gouging because they know they can. And there's two ways to stop that. Either don't buy their product.
Yeah.
Or wait it out until eventually people aren't buying that product. They have to drop their price.
Right.
If people are like, hell, I can't even get a hotel room anymore. You go to a Motel 6, it's $329 a night. Well, I'm like,
right.
Then don't do it.
Plus, it's inflation. I mean, yes. I mean, it's all.
So you're going to get what you want.
Correction and stuff. I mean, the only
but
thing.
But as long as you're selling them.
The only thing I would say, and we won't get into a deep conversation. I am.
To go and just.
Yeah.
That I Bruce Springsteen, I don't know if it has anything to do with this. Ticketmaster's doing their tickets, they say, so the tickets don't get on the secondary market.
Right.
No, so they're not going to StubHub and all these, and there's a million of them, right?
Right.
So they can't resell their tickets, but by doing that, they're making the price so high that it doesn't matter. And so either way, you're going to be spending the money. It ain't like us sleeping outside the Magic Platter waiting for U2 tickets and getting them for $9.99. It's never going to happen again.
You remember getting the Reuters fans?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then you have people wait in line, wait your turn. Come back 6 hours.
You're third in line, and you're sitting on row 16, and you're pissed.
Dude,
what the hell?
We would do that. We literally would have people skip class. Like, the way it would work is, like, we could start at 5, you know, 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
Somebody would go until school started. Somebody, you could always get someone to skip class. They would wait until noon. You get someone to come for lunch. I mean, it was a whole thing. The only thing, I won't get in deep in it. I just can make a declarative statement. Healthcare and basic services should be regulated in that way. And you know, and that's where, you know, we talk about capitalism in this country. We're not really, we're somewhere in between. We're capitalism with regulation, which is okay. It's a hard, you know, again, you look at some other countries, and our culture is different, but you look at some other countries and the idea of controlling prices for medical services, for education, by paying more for roads and that kind of stuff, by paying more taxes, right? And, you know, we are this is how we form the country. We don't tax us. Let us do our own thing. It gets to be really interesting because of what you just said. It's the exact same thing, which is, okay, that's fine, but then you may not be able to afford to go to a Bruce Springsteen concert.
Yeah.
Right? And then you do get into issues where there are people who can't afford it. And here's what I hate more than anything else. Do not tell me, pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah.
And if you want to make it in this country, anybody can, because I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just stop.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I get that, but that's a lame story.
Mm-hmm. For some people it works, but for most people it doesn't.
That's exact. That's
the
social
economic issues or atmosphere.
You can't just go like that. For the concerts, yeah, I mean, maybe I sound like a, you know, 54-year-old white guy, but like, my God, concerts are expensive.
Yeah.
What happened?
You go to ZZ Top, though, and they're playing, I think, tomorrow night, $36.
But where?
Or
you know what I mean? Is it a huge venue?
Yeah, they're amphitheaters. $36.
Why? But,
well, first of all, supply and demand.
Yeah.
ZZ Top's been touring forever and ever and ever. And if you want to go see a ZZ Top concert, you can do that for $36.
Yeah, Springsteen.
I remember
when
the Eagles came to town and tickets were $99 for the Hell Freezes Over. Yeah. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And it was well worth every dime. And that was 1998.
Yeah. No.
So if you want to go see Bruce Springsteen,
well,
you want to go
play
see
a long
final
show.
Well, yeah, he always plays a long show.
Do you think he'll shorten it?
No. He never plays anything under 3 hours.
Yeah.
And it was one of the best shows I've seen him play when he came to the BJCC years ago. It was top five concert. And I've been playing Bruce Springsteen music my entire life, and I didn't recognize half the music he was playing. I was waiting to hear Glory Days and never heard it. I wanted to hear 10th Avenue Freeze Out, never heard it. He's playing all these, but it was a great show. He played every song like it was the last time he was going to play it. Listen, this is kind of a little bit of a first world problem.
It's a total for
And as long as people are willing to spend, and there are people like, I'm rich, but this is outrageous, I'm going to drop $4,000. And they're showing their receipt for $8,012. Then there's a ticket charge. $8,012 for two tickets to see Bruce Springsteen. I'm like, listen.
And there's a charge of like $4.99.
Yeah.
That's so pathetic.
Just total bullshit. That's like, so as long as people are, and I'll go back to Alabama football games. Mm-hmm. Like, when I first, I'm not my old man on the front lawn.
Well, it's a little bit.
Situation.
A little bit.
You know, people are like, oh, I saw Led Zeppelin open for Grand Funk Railroad. Right. Tickets for $2.99. Well, that was 1969. I don't want to hear your gobbledygook. But if we want to get back 10 or 15 years ago, you know, you used to be able to go up to Bryant Denny a couple hours before kickoff. And if they were playing outside Auburn or Florida, they were playing Vanderbilt or maybe even Ole Miss at the time, or certainly if it was a non-conference game, you were getting in for $50, $60 a ticket, which was, you know, and if you got four of yous or you're taking your kid, Can't do it anymore. I mean, if you want to go see an SEC game at Bryant Denny, good luck. Right. It's $200-$300. I can't spend $200 or $300 for a ticket.
No.
Not unless it's a one-time deal, right. Even for non-conference games. And all the games are on TV now. That used to be when there were only three games on television for you Alabama fans and Auburn fans. There used to be only three games a year on television. Now every game is on television. You would think that would drop the ticket price, but it doesn't. So it just makes it more difficult. I don't know where the money's coming from. I don't know if people are affording to do it. Just the tailgate.
They can't.
But they're still full,
yes,
Josh. The place is still packed. It's as packed as it's ever been. So where the hell? It's happening.
I mean, this is why UCLA and SC joined the Big 12. Right?
Yep.
It's a money thing.
So I'm kind of torn. I'm kind of like, you know, if I was in a situation here on Tony Curry Radio, I do commercials for $20 or $25 a pop for 30 seconds, right? And we've got a bunch of great clients.
By the way,
a new client.
Call him today.
It is an incredible bargain.
It really is.
And you'll understand that after I talk about Coosa Valley Auto here in a minute. But it's a great bargain. But like everything else, if someone's willing to pay $100 a spot, well, then I'm going to charge $100 a spot. Do I think it's worth $100 a spot? Mm-hmm. Could be.
Yeah.
And then you get to the point where you're selling out. And when you're selling out, that supply and demand aspect of it, that's a beautiful thing for a capitalist, for a person who's trying to optimize and expose their business and make the most money. So I get that. So if Bruce Springsteen can sell out every concert and
of
tickets
course.
Are $5,000 a piece and he's selling out, then I'm kind of like, it sucks for the little guy, but...
Yeah. Well, that's where you get into... It's really interesting, right? So that's where you get into...
What pisses me off is when there's necessities, things we must have that were being priced out of the market and the rich people are just buying it all up. Whether it's paper plates, we saw it during the pandemic. Whether
those damn rich people buying paper
toilet
plates.
Toilet paper or whatever. Right. When, you know, and I went and bought some paper towels yesterday and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I got six rolls of toilet paper towels for $13.99.
Yeah.
It's like $13.99 for six flipping. Thank goodness. But I did select a size. So I'm using half. And now I'm only using four panels of toilet paper to wipe my ass.
Tony,
I'm not kidding you. I'm turning to my dad. I'm like, screw this.
You're using paper towels for your butt?
If I have to. No, but I mean the toilet paper. When I buy toilet paper, I don't know what the hell's going with trees. Paper products are outrageous. Paper plates, like a stack of paper plates, now $14.99. I'm like, so I will use paper plates twice.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm going to start doing my mom's thing. She used to actually wash plastic silverware.
We do.
Put silverware in the
yeah,
washing
as long as
sheet.
It doesn't melt. Sometimes it melts. But
so you got to do what you got to do. But yeah, if they start charging, you know, $5 for a bottle of water, I'm kind of like, of course it comes out of the tap. It's a lot cheaper than that. But yeah.
I mean, you know, someone's got to pay for the monkeypox stuff.
Well, for example, power.
Yes.
I know you do some business with Alabama Power. I think it totally sucks. With Spire, who used to be out of Gasco, my gas bill's nothing because I have gas heat, that's it, right? And then all of a sudden, about October when it starts getting cold, they jack the price up. Why? Because they can. Because
well,
you're going to need
those markets,
heat. So I go
those
from
markets
a $20
are
bill.
publicly regulated. I mean, there's some regulation.
In some cases.
Yeah. Because
ask people in Texas is not.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can make the argument. Capitalism.
Move.
Greatest country. I listen, and people hate when I say this, but again, part of this is because now I have a child living in Europe, going to school. And so my perspective, just because I have access to people who live in different countries in a way that I never did. I love living here.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. But what I don't like people saying, this is just personally, is... This is the greatest country in the world, and every other country is not as good.
No.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's different.
I mean, you can live super well in Amsterdam, in Germany.
And you won't get shot.
What?
And you won't get
you
shot.
Won't get, and again, so this is not a, this is not a we're better. It really is. We're different, but there are, I would say there are equal places to live in other countries with other sorts of social configurations.
Yeah.
And like, and again, this is the chill, just chill.
And we've done a pretty good job over the course of history in this country from dissolving monopolies.
Yes,
We can go back to the Carnegies, we can go back to the Rockefellers, we can go back to the Vanderbilts, we can go back to the people that actually owned all the everything. They owned all the oil, they owned all the railroads, and they could set their prices, and so we broke those down. We do that with companies now.
Yes.
We've done that with Facebook.
Right.
Facebook's under the gun again. And again,
that's the regulate. I mean, and that's the
regulatory part of making sure that it's competitive. And I think that's a good thing. What makes this country great, one of the great things, is that you can come in and pull your bootstraps up and make it. We've seen immigrants come in with absolutely nothing and they turn things and they could be in the most dire situations. They do it. It's not really typical.
Well, because
that to happen,
and that's the problem. I mean, I think that's the problem that we constantly have to address, which is it a fair playing field where everyone's got a shot to do that? And it's not.
And are you willing to make the sacrifices to get that shot? And I'll use an example. Next door neighbor had a landscaper. He gets his lawn landscaped, which I think he's a real puss for doing that because real men cut their grass. They change the oil in their car. They always drive. They don't ever let their wife or girlfriend drive. They always drive, and they cut their own grass. There's a lot to be said about
that. Look in the camera. That could be like your dating profile.
Cut your own grass. And so, but he's 75. He's had a heart attack, so I have to give him a break. And his wife's
he's probably earned
so
good
like,
money.
So I try not to be judgmental. I'm like, what the hell, dude? He's like, you're cool. You're good. So I know this guy who cuts his grass because he does it every single week. And I said, you know, how's business? He was like, the landscaping business is outrageous. It's great.
Sorry, Charlotte.
And big ass spider. And he says, but I'm not going to be doing it much longer. And I said, why is that? And he said, well, me and a few of my friends are buying a restaurant. I said, I don't want to mention where it's at, but it's prime real estate on 280. And I'm like, what?
From a landscape. What? Okay.
And I was like, how'd you pull that off? He goes, well, you know, the four of us have been living together for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Our families live together. It's a little tight. But there's 12 of us in one house and we've saved our money. And I've been cutting grass for 12 hours a day for the last 4 years. And we're pulling all of our money together. And we're buying this nice restaurant. We're all going to work this restaurant. And I can't wait to work in the AC. And I'm going,
okay.
How many people are willing to do that? Are you willing to cut grass for 12 hours a day for four years and end up owning your own restaurant?
Right.
It's kind of one of those things. So, I don't know. All right.
Awkward pause.
Awkward pause for sure. I sent a story to JP Dice this morning, my good friend.
Oh.
There was a great story on the Discovery Channel, the Malaysian MH370 flight.
Mm-hmm.
There was new evidence that came out last week. Mm-hmm. A guy says he knows exactly where the flight is. And, of course, we will never know what happened to that airplane. That was the one that disappeared over the Indian Ocean.
So they did a
voice recognition and some type of sonar or something or other. And he knows exactly where the boat is or the airplane is. And now we're waiting for the Malaysian government to say it's okay to go search it again because it's millions of dollars every single day. And they have a search no fee thing where you go search for it, but if you don't find it, you're not getting paid. Mm-hmm. And there's like three different searching vessels. One's called Ocean Infinity or whatever. They're like, we'll go find it. You know, and until they can find the plane, we'll never know what's happening. Right. So, and that's one of the reasons I was thinking of JP Dice. Sometimes I get too far off my story. I'm like, what the hell am I talking about? Right.
That's because you're an old man.
So, and I love JP Dice and it was an air disaster show. So I saw this woman, this great story, and I kind of wanted to get into some of your bucket list things.
Okay.
If unfortunately you were terminally ill, say you had a year to live.
Mm-hmm.
What are some things that you would want to do? Now, you know, you've done very well for yourself. You're one of those guys that has worked his ass off to get to where he's at. So financially, you're in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
So your bucket list is going to be a little different than, say, mine or some other people's. But what's something that you would want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have things that are...
You want to travel a lot,
No. Yeah. It's just, sorry, the Tim McGraw songs in my head. Because I'd want to go skydiving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I wouldn't necessarily want to go Rocky Mountain climbing. Skydiving. Learn to ride a motorcycle really well.
Mm-hmm.
There are some places in the world that I would like to see, and they may not be, I would like to go to Madagascar.
Yeah.
The Galapagos Islands.
Yes.
You know, I'm not a big, if I only had a short amount of time, would I want to go see Asia? Sure, but I don't know. I want to go on an African safari kind of thing and see wild animals.
A lot of travel, yeah.
But not a lot of travel. But like, they'll, like, well, you know what I mean?
On a Madagascar.
Well, no. But what I'm saying, like, it's not so much, I wouldn't do, I want to see the world.
Yeah.
Like, those are the places, and I want to go skydiving, and I want to learn to ride a motorcycle really well, really fast. And, you know, just, you catch me off. That's kind of it.
Would you ever want to be in, you're on television, you're on Fox 6.
Oh,
you
kind
of off and on. Young British woman who was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer back in 2018, checked off a bucket list wish where she presented the BBC broadcast of weather. That's why I sent it to,
Isn't that great?
Like, recent college graduate, Laura Nuthall, played weather forecaster for a day for a well-known British broadcasting company about 4 years after she was told she had glioblastoma multiforme. And this just goes, it was 4 years ago, and they gave her 18 months to live. And obviously, she's lived 2.5 years past that. But she's still writing off her bucket list stuff. And so she posted a video of her being a professional weatherman. Yesterday to assist in the show's forecast. She was prepped with makeup, showing the weather studio prior to the segment and behind-the-scenes footage. She said, I'm looking forward to it. She's always wanted to present the weather on television as a bucket list, and I'm thinking, that is so cool.
Well, that's, the idea of Make-A-Wish has always been so cool because it's not just about taking everyone to Disney World, right? Because because kids, particularly in Make-A-Wish, kids have... We all have different things we've always wanted to do. I think that's a really good example. I don't know that it would be on my bucket list, but just as you were saying that, and you've done this, I don't know if I'd be actually too nervous to
be
this.
On television.
Yeah.
Once, because a lot of people never get the chance to be on TV, and we'll be on Fox 6 in an hour, so we're super blessed to have that. I never take that for granted. The fact that I'm on Fox 6 with you every Thursday is amazing with Jesus and Bob's. I mean, it really is really cool. And we're like, how the hell do you do that? And I'm like, well, I've been doing radio for a long time. And But to be on television one time in some capacity, even from a community-based, maybe a local access channel.
Absolutely.
Like Channel 2 would be super cool. But the fact that she wanted to be on television to present the weather, because I think, is the really interesting part of the story. She's not a weather freak. Okay. She just thinks it's always been something she's wanted to do, and now she got the chance
to. See, I think that's absolutely wonderful. Yep. That's wonderful. I would like to.
Fox 6 used to do that with kids, right?
Well, Mickey still does. Now, he has his weather kids, which is it's great.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. Now, they don't, these are not kids who are with terminal illnesses. Yeah. They're just... Come on and do it. I think it's fantastic. I would like to introduce, you've done this a million times. I've never done this. I would like to, although I don't know if I would have the nerve to do it. Even though I was on bucket list, I would like to introduce or do some sort of opening in front of 50,000 people for a band.
Mm-hmm.
Or just be able to say, hello, LA. Right? But I also think at the same time, I would probably freak out and not be able to do it. But I've never stood in front of 10,000 people or more. And I know you've done it. And that's something that, again, I think a lot of us, I don't know how much it's a bucket list, but it's like, wow, that would be really, really amazing.
It is the adrenaline rush
that
you get from, and again, I
is it because of the, because of how many people, yes?
Yeah, when you can't see the back of the crowd, it's so overwhelming, it's not overwhelming.
Is it? Okay.
You get the, so awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Smaller rooms, like 2,000-3,000.
Well, see, and I've done
that. Freak the hell out of me.
I've done that. But
when you can see their faces, see, and what I normally do, and I've spoken at record clubs where there are 9 people there,
right?
And then I've spoken for the Fraternal Order of Police. I've done stuff for fire departments. I've done stuff for quarterback clubs, and then I've done stuff for like the Ronald McDonald House where I'm in front of 2,000 people. And what I typically do is I get there an hour early.
Yes.
And I walk through the crowd and I'm shaking hands.
You
and I try to get a story from one person or two people so I can use that.
You're so smart. Mm-hmm.
And man, and
your friendly face.
They'll laugh at your stuff.
You need a validator.
They think they know who they are. But if you just walk in cold and you're not, you know, Jay Barker or you know, someone who's famous, then they're not going to know who the hell I am.
No, you need your validator.
Yeah.
You need your validator. Mm-hmm. That is the number one thing, if you can get over a fear of public speaking, is you need your validator, including sometimes you bring somebody with you.
Oh, yeah.
You bring somebody with you, you put them in the
audience. Prince did it every time he went out and did a show.
What?
Prince did it.
What?
He always had his posse, you know?
You know, Adele did that on her big thing. Yeah. Right? So they, when she did it at the observatory, she had friends and family.
All right, so I want you to talk about one of our great sponsors. Then I want to welcome a new sponsor who's going to be starting Monday here on Tony Curry Radio. And, of course, we do Facebook Live every Thursday. You can also go to Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and search Curry and Claypo. There's both McKay's or Tony Curry Radio. Just search Tony Curry Radio Podcast. You're going to find all of our podcasts. We have great shows. I'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, so let me talk about Adaptogen, one of our sponsors.
There you go.
Adaptogen is an amazing technology company what they do is they use software to take your outdated software, if you're running a business, and bring it kind of up to speed without replacing it. And it is a huge challenge. If you know, even if you don't have a giant business and you're like, okay, this has all been working, it's got problems, but I'm scared to death about taking it all the hardware out. Mm-hmm. And what Adaptogen does is use their software to lay on top of it, to make your software and your hardware do all the things that they're supposed to do, at a much lower price point and with a lot less risk. And they are they're one of our proud sponsors. They are also the sponsor of Adapter Parish, which I do with Dr. Alex Hubline every week. It's an amazing organization. It's one of these places where super smart people doing lots of interesting things, and the company is family owned. They have been in business for almost 40 years, mm-hmm. which when you talk about a technology company.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So, yeah, I mean.
Well, that should tell you something, because if they've been in for 40 years, they are adapting. Because they're not perishing. They're making it happen. And the show, by the way, which runs on Tuesdays, is going to start running 5 days a week. So you're going to be getting some major exposure. I think we're going to have that run at noon every Monday through Friday.
Nice.
So keep it out. So here on Facebook, we get a lot of people that chime in. Right now the camera's back a little bit, so I can't see everybody. And Al Cooper just chimed in.
Here's Al Cooper.
And he said, hey, call me and let's do some business. So I made the beautiful drive up to Sylacauga, Alabama. It took about an hour, and I told Al, I said, listen, dude, I'm driving an hour to come see you, man. Let's do some business. And I said, if I do business with you, I'll buy a car from you. He runs a Coosa Valley Auto, and it's CoosaValleyAutoSale.com. Now, listen, I have worked with a lot of car dealers.
I know you have.
After I mentioned Coosa Valley Auto yesterday, I had three other car places call me up saying, we want to do advertising with you. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. I have never had a car dealership. In this particular case, it's a co-op, which is really cool. They work with you to be on this radio station because I kind of pick and choose
yes, you do.
Who my clients are. Yes, there's a perception. I want it to sound good. We're a little snarky. We like to push the envelope a little bit.
Yeah.
But if a strip club wants to run commercials on my radio station,
maybe,
but it's just one of those situations.
Supply, yeah.
Yeah, if you're the furnace out there and you're listening, I'll take
he'll take your money.
But I mean, yeah, I just want to be careful how we present ourselves because we do have Adaptogen, Adapter Parish. I have a non-for-profit show with the Montgomery Food Bank and Michael Coleman on. I have an AC/DC show with Southern Precision Staffing on. I've got Blues Almighty going later on tonight, a fresh new show, which is a great classic rock show, and Damon Johnson, and When in Rome, of course, with the Woodhouse Day Spa, we're classy joint around here.
Yes, we are.
So I've done enough with car dealerships, and I've been around enough car guys because I've probably done 100,000 car remotes. I've done endorsements for car places, and so I went with an open mind. I thought this would be kind of cool, and I'd heard about it at Coosa Valley Auto before. I thought this would be kind of cool to go up and just hear their spiel. And if it didn't work out, it was going to be fine. If it worked out, and I spent an hour with this guy, Al Cooper. And, of course, I met his entire staff, Brad, David, Shane, Dakota, Jeremiah, they were all there. And he explained to me how the car business works. Now, I've had a lot of, well, let me go ask my manager. You know, that kind of crap. I'm like, and I've sold cars before. Mm-hmm. And I know how it works. And right now, the car business is so fickle and weird because over the last few years, we've heard about there's no new inventory. The pandemic killed everything. There are no chips for cars. And so you're going to have to pay more than you want to for a car. Then the used car business went up. I'm driving a 2013 Honda Odyssey, which on any given day is worth about $1,500. And I'm being told it's worth $8,000.
Nice.
Because there's a demand for it. Capitalism, right?
Isn't it great?
It all goes back to capitalism. So I sat down with him in front of his computer. And he explained to me for the first time in my 56 illustrious years of being in radio and doing car sales and stuff and knowing how it works, explained to me how it worked. And I felt so comfortable because I'm like, I didn't feel like I was being ripped off. Mm-hmm. Does he want to sell me a car? Hell yeah, he wants to sell me a car. And I need one. And I told him, you do business, I'll buy a car. And I'm going to buy a car from Coosa Valley Auto Sale.com. And so go to their site. It's not one of these mega dealerships. When you walk on the lot, you got to walk in the door to meet somebody, which I love.
I know you.
You know, you ever pull up into a dealership and you got four different guys coming at you at one time and you're like, I'm just looking. And they're all smoking cigarettes. They're smoking cigarettes, looking at newspapers, you know?
No,
and
I'm like, not all,
well, a lot of them are.
Yes.
Well, he got after it and showed me the whole.
I love that.
Yeah. And he's, the thing is like his mouth moved like a duck's ass. I could not get him to shut up. He was so passionate about car sales, and he had done it a long time. He goes, I want to do things different. I want to do a car co-op. I want to do a cooperative thing with the buyer and the seller and show them, and they've got the financing, they got it all. So check him out. Nice. We're officially going to have them on the air on Monday, but I wanted to throw a big, and I really enjoyed my time. I got a chance to get on the road, clear my head for about an hour. I love that drive up there, went past Old Baker Farm. Their number is 256-267-0296, 256-267-0296. They're open 10 to 4:30. We don't do banker's hours here, man. And they're also open on Saturday, CoosaValleyAutoSale.com. So check it out. Something else they do?
What do they do?
If you buy a car from Coosa Valley Auto.
Yes.
And something happens to it. Something breaks. You bring it back. They'll fix it free. No labor. If you buy a car from them on a Tuesday, because it happens. You buy a car from them on Tuesday. Your transmission goes out on Wednesday. Bring it back.
Nice.
Pay for the transmission. You ever got labor on transmissions, thousands of dollars, they'll fix it right there on site. They're like, we stand behind our products, and I don't know any other dealership that'll do that. So enough of that. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on. We're going to be on Fox 6 coming up here in about 50 minutes at 9:30 this morning, talking about inflation wreaks havoc on dating before I make that investment. That's interesting.
It's very interesting.
I want to get to know her a little better. We were talking about this right at the beginning. Men typically pay for dates. We've been through that whole thing where if she asks you on a date, she's supposed to pay, but I won't allow a woman to drive, cut my grass, change my oil, or pay for my meal. Now, maybe we get a little into it. It's my birthday, and that's going to make her feel good to drop a couple on her bus and tell
Wait, hang on.
Then I'm okay with
just
that.
Wait.
Yes.
Just wait.
Yes.
Let's say you're totally smitten with somebody.
Yeah.
Just, you've met them, you haven't gone on a date.
Yes.
It is the one. And we've all had that. Mm-hmm. And they say to you, I want to take you on a date.
Yeah. And I'm smitten with them already.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm getting excited.
You're just, you know, and you may not have, you haven't said anything to them.
Yes.
But like in here, you're like, oh my God. Yeah. And they're like, look, I make my own living.
Mm-hmm.
I am self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to take you on a date. This is something I want to do.
Yeah.
Now, you've got your whole, I cut grass, I drive,
yes,
I think.
Yes.
But you're so smitten. What would you do? I mean, I know you'd probably initially go, no, let me. But what if it wasn't, it's not a, you know, and it doesn't get to the argument place because you're in a weakened position because you.
If just, I was really smitten,
yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to take someone's joy away from them.
Right.
I'm not being snarky here.
No.
But if a woman, if it really makes her feel good to buy me a dinner and she's not expecting sex afterwards.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, if you're just buying me dinner to get me in bed now that's.
You'd do that in a second.
Of course I would.
Actually, you wouldn't. See, you wouldn't.
I would leave in the middle of the appetizer. Are you taking me out just to get me in bed? Are you using me? Well, let's just cut the crap. We can eat later.
Which, by the way, that's not a good pickup line.
No, but a lot of guys, see, guys consider dates investments. And it's not to say, okay, I'm spending Listen, once you start dating somebody and you're going on Valentine's Day, the reason you're buying those earrings for is because you like her, you love her, you're showing appreciation, but you're expecting something out of it. Now, I don't know if it's maybe that once or twice a year you're getting it. If you're getting it three times a week, it doesn't matter. And it depends on when that dating position is. I know, it's great.
Dude,
and it's
such this is why people like me
it's
have
the
a
game,
job.
Man. It's the game, well, man.
I have a
I'm
job.
Back in the game again. I'm back okay. in the game again. I mean,
but
I,
the game's changed a little bit.
It's changed a hell of a lot.
So be careful. Yeah. Just be careful.
I like to go really, really slow.
I know you do.
Now, I went on a recent date. It wasn't really a date. It was perfect. She invited me over to her house. I thought, that's great. I said, I'll bring a pizza over.
See?
But I bought flowers.
But see, that's...
Because I wanted to make a good first impression. She loved that. And then, of course, I never saw her ass again.
Well, okay.
I think she was
Did you bring carnations?
Huh?
Was it carnations?
No, I got roses.
Okay, good.
Yeah. No but
maybe,
sex.
But maybe you went overboard.
No petting.
Maybe you went overboard.
I don't think just roses on the first date is... I always like to bring something.
And that... But see, that is signature you.
Yeah.
Right? That's authentic to you. That's what you would do for you because of who you are.
Well,
that's
for
what
you guys out there, and I speak for every guy. If you're going to do flowers, do it on the first date. Because if you do it on the second date, it looks like you're trying too hard or the first date wasn't very good. If you do it on the third date, it's just plain creepy because then... Now, if you end up going out... And you're sleeping with each other.
The first date is good. These are Tony Curry tips.
Well, yeah.
Flowers on the first date. Don't do it on the second date because it's kind of a waste. And the third date, be careful because then it's creepy.
No, particularly if you're trying really hard and things are going pretty good and all of a sudden you're showing up with flowers on the third date, she's going to go, okay, what's he expecting? He's expecting something. Absolutely. Josh, I know this, man. The fourth or fifth date and all of a sudden you're showing up with flowers and you never showed up with flowers before. And it's going pretty well. You're like, okay, this is a little
strange. No, I can totally twist that. I can totally twist that.
To the first date. You won't get laid. It won't happen.
No, listen. Okay, so two things. On the first date, if you want to bring something, bring them flowers. Don't go overboard. Don't bring them two dozen roses, like whatever. That's stupid.
No, I went to Publix and just got the
ones. Well, they have great flowers.
They do. I cut the stems off. She was cutting the stems while I was sitting there setting the table.
No, that's wonderful. So I think that's fine. But I do think there is nothing wrong with going with the pace of the engagement, of the relationship. I mean, I think that's where we get into trouble.
Yeah.
It's this kind of algorithmic... First date, you bring them something, not too big, not too small. Second date, you take them here. Third date, you did it. Stop.
You got to think about it, though.
But you, no.
Yeah, you do. You got to think about it.
Well, you got to think, you got to ask yourself, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I bringing them something? Yep. Why am I taking them to dinner?
Yep.
And if the answer is, you know, I'm bringing them something to show them what a romantic guy I am.
Yeah.
Okay, but are you?
Yep.
Like, are you a romantic person, or are you doing that to show them you're a romantic person?
We'll be on Fox 6 in about 45 minutes to talk about this, and it's important. We're going to talk about how broke people are, and we're spending an average of $850 more a month, which is over 10 grand in groceries alone if you're an average person. Gasoline prices are still extremely high. I get that. But you don't want to go into a situation, unless she already knows your social economic situation. Maybe you work with her and she knows what you make, or maybe she just sees what you drive or whatever. But you don't want to get a situation where, like, things are a little lean, so let's do this. Just do it. Particularly at the beginning of a relationship.
Well, yeah, again.
Go to the park. Go for a walk. Hey, I usually walk my dog on Wednesday nights. Would you like to go along with me?
Yes,
and
yes.
And we can go grab a sandwich or something like that.
Don't outplay yourself.
Yeah.
Because the second you start playing who you're not,
mm-hmm.
now you're on the hook. It's like telling a lie.
Yeah.
Right? Now you're on the hook to be that person. And it's the number one problem. I see this in marriages all the time. You know, while you're courting with somebody, maybe you've been dating them for a long time, you're in a committed relationship, and then you move in together.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to see more of you.
Yeah.
But you've kind of been, I wouldn't say you've been faking it the whole time, but you've been on more than your best behavior.
Yes.
You've been on your best behavior, plus you've been embellishing a little bit. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I'm really into poetry and all those sort of things.
No.
That's great. You better hang on to that, because as that starts trailing off, the person's like, well, wait a minute. I thought you loved reading.
Yeah.
Well, I, you know, not as much anymore. That's where you get yourself into trouble. But it is a fine line. You and I have talked about this before. That fine line between sort of showing them all your quirky things that maybe aren't quite so pleasant right off the bat, But it's between that and then faking it so much that by the time things get intimate, now you got to either carry out the lie or you got to ease into who you are at the risk of them going, well, that's not who I started with.
Yeah, I think where I lost the chick is when I took her for a ride in my 2013 Honda Odyssey minivan as a 56-year-old divorced man. And I told her that. I guess you never thought you'd be in a 56-year-old man's Odyssey with the broken handles off it. But you know what?
Yeah.
That's who I am. And
I'm
self-sufficient, and I was trying to make light of it. I think self-deprecation is a good thing in a lot of people, as long as you're not doing it over and over and over again. I think you can, if you are secure in yourself and you feel good about yourself and you self-deprecate, that's very attractive, and I think a lot of women like that.
Well, and
yeah,
it puts you in a position. I don't know that it's a litmus test,
yeah,
but you gave her an opportunity to either say, that's okay, mm-hmm. I'm that's good with me. Or not.
Yeah. Or she can drive.
Yeah.
No, or I could drive her car.
No, see.
No, I say, would you like to take your car? And I can drive you. And
I'll change your own country. Or what if she says, no, it's my car I drive? Would you go?
Yeah, then I'm probably copping a feel or driving to the restaurant. Well, you know,
would you drive? Would you go? See, you would.
I know some woman would actually let me drive. If I say, can I drive? She probably let me drive.
But what if she said, no,
I think some women would like that.
That's fine, because you asked.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't push.
No, I'd just probably just get in.
In the front seat?
Yeah, I'd open the door and go, come on, get in.
And if she's like, you know what?
Yeah.
This is my car.
Yeah.
I paid $70,000 for this car.
Then I said, we're hopping in the minivan. You're going to have to be seen with it.
No, see, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
A year ago today is a very special day here for Tony Curry Radio because of this untimely death. It created a show that runs every Thursday night called Blues Almighty with Austin Hanks.
That was a year ago.
Dusty Hill passed away a year ago today. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I think
I was like, what the hell?
It's called the COVID time warp. Or
no,
pandemic.
It was crazy before the pandemic. I mean, time was flying
before that.
No, that
was just you. That was just you.
It was crazy. I was like, I got a friend of mine from JD Lyons down in Delray, Florida. He said, you know, Austin Hanks. I said, yeah, I haven't talked to him in a long time. He said, he's out in San Bernardino. Why don't you call him up? He's playing with the ZZ Top. He's written some of their music. And so we started this relationship. And Austin Hanks is just great. He's got a great show that runs it's going to run every Monday through Friday. But right now, Thursday is at noon and 8. It's called Blues Almighty. If you like blues music, and it could go all the way. It can go from CCR. You're like, CCR is not blues. Yeah, it is. Every classic rock artist out there has got some blues influence to it. The Zeppelins, the Stones. Oh, my gosh, the Who. And so check out. And it's probably my favorite. I got my Live Wire Wednesday. I got a lot of different shows that I love the music. But probably in When in Rome with Stuart Rome, which is our handpicked classics, too. But it's so different. And it is nasty. It is raw. He's done shows about the Nick. He did shows about city stages. He did hippie blues last week, which was fantastic. He's got a fresh new show. So I put him on the air, and we were talking about Frank, Billy F. Gibbons and Frank Beard, of course, the two remaining members. Billy, the first phone call he made after Dusty passed away was to Austin Hanks. It was a sad moment, but they're still on the road. They're still doing their thing. So that kicked off that show. So we remember him. Haul. Finally, I want to get into here before we take a quick break. And again, we'll be on Fox 6 this morning with Janice Rogers. You say she's out this week. So it's going to be Dubs and Mick. You know?
Dubs and Mick or Claire.
Or Claire, yeah, Claire. She's got her own show now. She's big time. Congratulations to you, Claire. You got your 11 o'clock show. We actually wanted that show, but you got it.
Nobody has.
Feel free to be on 11 o'clock on Fox 6. Curry and Claypo, we're whores that
we love. I love Claire.
I do. I know you
Claire
love Claire.
Claire is the best.
Claire is like your work wife.
No.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Claire and her husband are just, they're great. They're good people.
So when this Brittany Griner thing came down, I was very critical. And I was like, dumbass. What are you doing? And she was going into the country, correct? She wasn't leaving the country. She was going into the country with the vape cartridges, with the hash or the smoke or whatever.
No, CBD oil.
CBD oil. Well, they called it a form of hash or hashish. So I don't know because and so I'm kind of thinking to myself.
Actually, I'm sorry. It was marijuana. It wasn't hash.
Okay. Well, I think there's forms of marijuana that cross into the hash, but it's not important. We're not toxicologists.
Remember those days?
Yeah, I do. Black tar hash.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nasty. It's like going out and just chipping off a piece of the road and sticking in a pipe and smoking it. Good Lord Almighty. No wonder we got high. It's like, oh my gosh. Those were the days. It was fun. So she goes in. I've heard that she couldn't read any of the documents, but she agreed to things and signed. She didn't have a lawyer, and I'm not saying any of those things are not true. She also said that it was medicinal, which I haven't seen any proof that her doctor.
No, she never scripted. Yeah, okay, that's a got, new one.
And I think the fact that it came in a vape, obviously, is like his vaping does not have a good perception about it right now.
Oh yeah, so right.
And I know a lot of people that you can get vaping cartridges with all kinds of stuff in there, so you can smoke and people can't see it. You don't have to roll it and you can smoke. So I was like, dumbass, what are you doing? And then because she's a celebrity and because she's huge, now everyone wants her to obviously be released. It happened right before the war back in February. And so I'm thinking to myself, you know, why, you know, I always say bad things happen to good people who put themselves in bad positions. Why did you go? And she's like, I didn't even know they were in there. Just stop. You know, your vape cartridges are in your luggage. Okay, stop. And you're 6'10" or 6'9". You're African American, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb in any country because just of your size and who you are, and you're probably recognized.
Well, yeah, she's
so you don't think going into Russia, they're not going to give you a second look over. They're not fans of you.
Yeah, they are.
The person who pulled her aside probably got a recommendation.
No. But she's a huge.
But if Michael
star
Jordan
there.
Goes into Russia right now, he's not going to be traveling with marijuana vape cartridges. He's smarter than that. And I've seen
lot of athletes.
And they've done really dumb shit.
Really famous athletes.
Really stupid things.
Yes.
And it may be because they think they're not going to get caught. But she was going through the line like everybody else.
Yeah.
She didn't have a special seat. She didn't have
anything. No.
And so now they're trying to get her freed. She pleaded guilty. Tell you something. She was incurred, I think, was plead guilty. Guilty and she's innocent, then it's staying in the courts probably for years and she'll never leave. So maybe she just bit the bullet. She was told to plead guilty. She did. Now we're trying to make this shit for whom?
I know.
we're letting you go because you brought in fake cartridges and we want one of our traffickers back. We'll give you one drug for another.
This is so bad.
So if this is a normal joke, if this is Tony Curry, my ass is spending the rest of my life in Russia around. Okay?
Yes.
And she's one of many. And I know that we have Russians over here. We detain those Russians because they've actually done something wrong. At least that's what we're being told. And I think sometimes we're using chips. Okay, we're going to keep this one over here in case someone like Brittany Grimes gets arrested so we can make the switch. Do you like the idea that they're willing to do one for one to bring her back despite the fact that she's pleaded guilty?
I, from the evidence I have seen as this is coming out, something went terribly wrong in terms of her being jailed for what she did. That's the part that's really disturbing. You know, we got to remember, she's been in there since February. There's something that's not a, you know, again, you get busted. She represents something more politically. One of the interesting things that I've heard a number of her former coaches and women's basketball coaches saying, you know, if this were, and this was a great line, and I'm going to take this just a little bit different, but if this were, you know, if this were Kobe, if this were Kyrie, if this were any of them, A, they would be back already. These are some of the women basketball coaches. But B, and this is the more powerful statement from sports, they wouldn't have had to be playing in Russia to earn a living.
Yep.
So there's a whole lot of political posturing around this. What makes me really sort of scratch my head is, again, it's not just her. It's other people who've been named for reasons that we would think, that at least their stories are not a big deal. Russians are saying, I mean, this is the nasty part of politics, including what you're saying. We're going to release one of the detainees that we've got.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the way you said it was great. It's true. We got eight. Keep that one because we may need it. And you know, look, I'm not a negotiator, but I gotta believe that that goes on.
I totally agree with you.
They presented it that way. We're gonna put something substantial on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what to. I mean, I don't. This is beyond my pay grade.
Yeah, yeah. She was making. I think she's making like $60,000 or $70,000 from the WNBA, and she's making millions over there. So I totally get why she would travel abroad to do that. They love her there. She's a celebrity.
I know
in Russia, and so
something not right.
I totally get that. There's the snarky everyday Joe kind of thought. Dumbass, you're rich. You've got everything you need.
Don't
making
be
millions
right.
of dollars. Why are you taking
don't
cars?
Be a snarky Joe.
But I mean, there's not also you know, and I've got an opportunity, and you have too. I've been to, you know, I went to Barcelona, which is wild. Been to Amsterdam. We had people sit us down and tell us what the laws were in Amsterdam. You go to the red light district,
right.
Marijuana drugs are not legal there, but they don't confiscate or arrest you as long as you're not blatantly sticking it in people's faces. And if you try to sell it, you're going to prison for your life. Everything's taxed. You go to bars. The bottom part's where you get your drugs. The top part, no drugs, just drinking and dancing. And you have to know how it works, right? And a lot of people go to Amsterdam. Oh, you go to Amsterdam, blah blah blah.
See, I don't think.
But I mean, but my boss is always like, you know, Mr. Curry, going to Albertville, France, no international incidents, blah 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 blah. Keep it straight, keep it clean. You don't want to get drunk. You don't want to get arrested. You don't ever want to get drunk or arrested. Well, just to say arrested. You can get drunk because you can do it in your room. But you don't ever want to get arrested outside our country.
Lotke. Remember Lotke?
Yeah. You just don't want to do it. Yeah. You really don't want to get – you don't ever want to get arrested. I've been arrested in Atlanta. That's not fun either.
That's another good Tony Curry tip.
Don't get arrested.
Great tip from Tony Curry.
But sure as hell, don't get arrested
in a foreign
country? Tijuana. Because your ass ain't coming back. They're going to leave you in a van in the middle of the desert, and you're probably going to get picked apart by buzzards. That shit happens. I mean, I know it goes down. So you're not, don't
I've gotten a ticket in Tijuana.
Tijuana's nasty.
Well, we used to drive there all the time. Mm. Drive across. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They will bring cash. And they will not find your body. The other thing, and I think this is interesting, and I don't know if they do this for every person, because this was not a major crime, certainly here, as we get more liberal with all of our marijuana stuff. I don't know what it's like in Russia, but as the Romans do, or as the Russians do, you must respect their laws.
Well, but that's one of the controversy. They're saying
they'll drink vodka till they puke.
But they're saying she had a prescription. It was for medicinal purposes.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. So if that's the case, then you need to find out how that works in Russia. Okay, I'm medicinally on marijuana. Yeah. I need it for my anxiety, for my glaucoma, for my cancer, whatever. Okay.
Me. Yep.
Yeah. But I mean, okay, if I go through Russian authorities, am I going to get in trouble? And if it's a point where you're like, you can't take your drugs in, then you don't take your drugs in and you don't go. I mean, that's you either take or you don't. The thing that I think really freaks people out is the way that they put her in the cage. Could you imagine if we did that in this country, where you get a DUI or domestic violence, and they put you in an actual cage and roll you in like an animal into the courtroom? I think that would reform some people in this country.
Well,
I mean, it's bad enough walking in when your ankles chained and stuff, and we do that, okay? But to be put in a cage to be looked at in a court of law, and you're standing there in this dark black cage, which, by the way, they're saying is the same cage. They evidently have a U.S. cage. It's used for, I forget the last
US
person.
People?
It's the same cage because it had a paint chip on one side. That's the same cage they used for the last person that was the United States that went over there. That is demoralizing. You're an animal at that point.
I can't even imagine what her mind is like coming out.
Yeah. Now.
I mean, and it doesn't matter if she's being, you know, she's saying I'm being treated fine.
It's been what, 6 months, 4 months?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a long time. Anyone that's been a night in a holding cell, it sucks. And that's for 4 or 5 hours. Yeah. Imagine what 4 or 5 months feels like. That would be like the discovery.
We're in some crazy, this is some crazy times.
Yeah. It is some crazy times, but I also am, as I get older in life, there are no coincidences, and the excuses that we use, we're an excuse. We want redemption. Right. We point fingers. Lori Loughlin, by the way, has a birthday today.
Oh, good.
Speaking of excuses. And she's back. She's got herself a show already. Like, we forgot all about her ass. They're like, this is going to sink her. She'll never be back. Okay. 6 months left.
Well, Martha Stewart. Look at Martha Stewart.
Yeah, Martha Stewart, right? I mean, if you got good content, we love you. Oh, the dude Smollett. The guy who...
Has he got a show?
He's got a number one song on iTunes right now.
Oh, nice.
I don't even know he's a singer. The dude who said he was beaten and kidnapped and all that shit.
That's good.
And he was on an HBO series that was, what's his name, Smollett, right?
Yeah.
Jesse or Justin Smollett?
Yes.
He just released a song yesterday, number one on iTunes. People are loving him. He's like, thank you to my fan base for bringing me back. And so, I mean, listen, here's another one.
Okay.
Make sure you drive your wife everywhere you go.
Oh, jeez.
Take flowers only on the first date. Don't spend more than $50 because she's not worth
it.
So
glad this is your show.
And if you screw up big time, bite the bullet, tell the truth, and you'll be back in a couple weeks because someone else will steal your thunder. The news cycle's too fast around here. Oh, and by the way, what was your take on the whole LIV Golf thing? You know, they're at, was it Bedminster? Donald Trump's Bedminster golf course?
Oh, are they?
And Donald Trump and Melania showed up at the LIV banquet last night, and Caitlyn Jenner was there. Who else was there? I think I got to be careful who I say because I don't want to throw somebody in there. That was Nelly was there, and a lot of Trump supporters aren't real happy about that because it's at his golf course. He's like, hey, this is my golf course. I'm making money. What's the big deal? Dustin Johnson was there, of course.
He doesn't care.
Bubba Watson, who's won two Masters, is now joined the LIV Tour, which is their biggest get. Charles Barkley is going to go have dinner with him and play in a golf tournament. What's going on? That's the problem with this world is we've gotten too damn selfish. It's all about me. I have to support my family. I have to look after me. I know I'm a millionaire, but I have to support my family. Yeah. I'm going to do what's best for me. It's not about what's best for the common good.
Well, it's capitalism.
Thank you very much. And that's a perfect way to end the show today. Hey, one of our great sponsors, Chris Doris. Chris Doris, the State Farm team. Been with Chris Doris. I'll be calling Chris Doris after I get my car from Coosa Valley Auto.
Yeah.
Because I'll have to get some insurance on that.
It'll probably go up a little bit.
It could be because the car I'm driving right now is a piece of shit.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean.
But I'm going to drive the wheels off.
And maybe it won't go up because the car you're driving.
Possibly.
Because we have had that with Chris Doris.
There you go. 985-7799, 985-7799. He is recognized as one of the top 10 agents out of over 19,000 State Farm agents in this country, and we have him right here in Birmingham at John Hawkins Parkway. He's a great guy, and my son, who just started driving about a year ago, I was like, oh, here we go, gave me a fantastic deal, explained everything's going on. Obviously, I wanted to do liability on the other driver because I know young people are going to hit somebody. They're going to have wrecks. As you get older, maybe that can drop off, but he's just fantastic, explained it all, and I've had my insurance with those fine folks since 1988. I've been with him, and I want to go meet with him next week. We catch up every couple months. He's a great guy. 985-7799, 985-7799, Chris Doris, the State Farm team. All right, check us out in 30 minutes. Listen to the TKR app. We've got 13 different shows. We got Blues Almighty going on tonight. We got Damon Johnson's show tomorrow. We have Win in Rome with Stuart Rome, the Woodhouse Day Spa, Birmingham.WoodhouseSpas.com, Birmingham.WoodhouseSpas.com, 905-7676, 905-7676, buy six, or you buy five and you get six procedures done. And also a great show with Kip Kiefer called Need to Know with Terry Quillian. I love this show. It's one of my new favorite shows. Every show we have on the station I love because I never know where they're going to go. They talked about Joe Manchin on this last one. They also talked about Cumulus Radio, which was very interesting. They'll talk about anything. I love it. So that show goes on tomorrow, but we're going to have a brand new lineup of all of our shows coming up here shortly on Tony Curry Radio. Download the TKR app. Just go to TKR. Super easy. Download the app. You don't like it, get rid of it. I don't give a shit. But you're going to love it. It's classic rock around the clock, 24 hours a day. And then check us out on Fox 6 in just about 30 minutes on the Big Fox with, of course, the entire crew right here on Tony Curry Radio. Thanks for watching.